VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on VCY America. And folks, though it's been some time since we've addressed it on a full program, LGBTQ plus issues have been regularly addressed by the candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for president. You're going to be hearing today just a portion of views that are being expressed at this time, even within just this past 7 days. In addition, you're going to be learning what's happening in states like Virginia and California to advance the LGBT plus agenda. And now there's a medical journal that's arguing that the government should overrule parents who neglect to transition their children, that parents that prevent a minor from receiving so-called treatments related to gender dysphoria violate the harm principle and justify the state intervening. All of this and more as we welcome back Peter LaBarbera, founder and president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you for the opportunity.
Peter, as we talk about just the LGBTQ plus agenda being pushed, is it just me or are these issues just really escalating across this nation?
Well, they are escalating, and I think they're moving faster because there's really not as strong an opposition as there should be. We see the life issue. We see it, the huge rallies for life and hundreds of thousands of young people. And on this issue, we see conservatives sometimes backing away. Not so much on the transgender issue, but I do hope that conservatives, reclaim the fight, the principled fight against the entire homosexual, bisexual, and now, Jim, they've moved on to pansexuality. They're always moving on to something more radical than before.
Yeah. Well, Peter, let's begin with South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Strong showing in Iowa, optimistic about New Hampshire, was asked about his homosexuality last Thursday's CNN debate. Let me share that clip with you and have you respond to it. Here is Mayor Pete.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's story is different, but the thing I want people to hear is that it gets better. And this really was something that I would have done anything at a certain time in my life. I would have done anything to not be gay. And believe that as that reality became inescapable, that it might cost the chance to serve in uniform or in office. And here I am now finding that very same fact that I thought might prevent me from having an impact in the world, at least a certain kind of impact in a certain kind of way, is actually very much part of the impact I get to have now. I mean, I'm not running to be the gay president of the United States. I'm running to be a president for everybody. But talk about God having a sense of humor. And so my hope is that, because I know right now there are so many, especially young people, who question whether they fit in their own family, in their community, as they come to terms with who they are. And we got a long way to go when it comes to LGBTQ equality right now. But I think the fact that I'm standing here, the fact that my husband's in the audience watching right now, is just an amazing example of that belief that yes, you belong. And this country has a place for you.
Pete LaBarbera, this is Mayor Pete as he is at the CNN debate talking about God's sense of humor and your thoughts.
Well, Jim, I've given a lot of thought to Mayor Pete, and it seems to me that this guy really, he's kind of like the white gay Obama in the sense that he's got a good command of the English language, he uses lofty rhetoric, but he's really dangerous. Now, here he's perpetrating the big lie. Right. Instead of homosexuality being a sin, which, God can help us deal with any sin. And God has helped many people like you've had on your shows over the years, Jim, and VCY. And I've interviewed so many former homosexuals, people who came out of lesbianism, people who came out of male homosexuality, people who've come out of transgenderism like Walt Heyer. I mean, we know that God is delivering people. And yet what does Pete Buttigieg say? He says that God is on his side as a proud homosexual man. And not only that, that it's a good thing. And now he's talking about it. It's become a positive thing in the campaign. And he talks about his husband. Of course, he doesn't really, in the eyes of God, he does not have a husband. A man cannot be married before God to another man. Maybe in this United States, because we have become such a decadent society, that there's laws that have been changed by corrupt courts. But he's not really married. But it's interesting to me how he pushes the big lie, and he's very eloquent, and I think he's going to win a lot of people over. And for that reason, I hope he is not the nominee or the vice presidential nominee, because I think he's going to lead many young people astray.
Peter, he also said we've got a long way to go when it comes to LGBTQ equality. In light of where we are today, and he says we've got a long way to go, what message does that send?
I was thinking the same thing, Jim. Where else? Where do we have to go? Are we talking about forced compliance with government? We already see Amazon taking books off its website because they happen to be critical of homosexuality from a moral perspective, or they promote ex-gays that we know exist in the thousands. I mean, are we talking about the government forcing parents to succumb to their children who want to have these transgender so-called gender reassignment surgeries and hormone therapies that we're going to be talking about later? I mean, we've already, the agenda has already achieved so much. What's he talking about when he says there's so much more to do?
Okay, let's go to Iowa now. Last Monday, a Buttigieg supporter learned that Mayor Pete was in a same-sex relationship, and it sounded like she was wanting to get her vote back, but listen to the exchange. It's, we understand over 3 million views on Twitter at this point. Here we go.
Came
so
over
are you
to
saying that he has a same-sex partner?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
He's married to him, yeah.
We need to find out if that's serious.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
I don't know.
Yes, I did. We could go ask.
I never knew that.
The whole point of it is, though, he's a human being, just like you and me, and shouldn't really matter. That's what, well, he better read the Bible. He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party because why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then? Well, I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
It's common knowledge.
I never heard it.
We can talk to someone if you need to talk to them about this. I don't know the rules on this or not, but I guess what I would like you to just dig deep inside and think, like, should it matter if it's a woman or if it's a man or if they're heterosexual or homosexual if you believe in what they say? That's my question.
It all just went right down the toilet is where it all just went.
And that's, you are, yeah, you have a total right to your opinion, and I am not trying to tell you to think otherwise, but we'll ask what they want us to do. But I just ask you to look inside your heart, because you sound like a Christian woman to me, and I'm a Christian woman, and my God wants me to love everybody. I do, yep.
So you must not believe it then, if you think it's okay for somebody to be married to a same-sex person.
No, I think we're just interpreting it different, and that's okay, because everybody gets to have their own beliefs. But what I teach my son is that love is love, and we're all human beings.
Wow, love is love, Peter. You're just interpreting it different. We interpret it different. Your response to what we heard?
Jim, I just can't get enough of this video. It fascinates me. It's, to me, it's like a contrast between generations almost. The more mature generation who just reads the Bible faithfully. Obviously, the Bible does not condone homosexuality. It's a sin. In fact, it's a sin you can overcome in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. we know from Romans, or we know from so many parts of the Bible. And then you have the young person who just comes out with these platitudes, love is love, and that nothing matters.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you marry a woman or a man. I mean, what does that mean, nothing matters? And I just think it's so sad that the young person deludes herself that the Buttigieg volunteer, that, you know, I'm a Christian too. You know, everybody's a Christian in our culture, right, Jim? It's just preposterous, and yet older woman, you know, who wants her vote back, she's just taking the Bible at its word, and yet you have these lies coming from the Buttigieg campaign that, you know, nothing matters, and that, oh, it doesn't matter if, you know, if he's gay, he's still Christian, and it's just so sad.
He was asked about this on MSNBC following this. Here's that interchange that took place.
There's a video
exchange
of a woman in Iowa who caucused for you. And when she found out that you were gay, she changed her mind. How real is that? How big of an issue is that for you?
It will happen. And the most extraordinary thing, I just saw that video today, actually.
How'd you feel?
Well, first of all, I felt proud of our organizer, volunteer, the campaign representative, who on my behalf was speaking to her. And speaking to her with respect, living out the values that this campaign has been asking our volunteers and organizers to live by the whole time, and trying to reach out in the name of compassion to that woman's heart. I'm sad to see that it doesn't seem that she reached her, but also think that is part of what change looks like. Deep, real change is looking people eye to eye and engaging them with compassion. And if someone like me in Indiana, while Mike Pence was governor, could come out and get reelected with 80% of the vote, then anywhere in America, I believe people can move past old prejudices, especially when the election at the end of the day is not about me or about this president. It's about the voters' questions of how their lives will be shaped by the choice they're about to make.
Peter, your comment.
Well, I have to say, I think Mayor Pete Buttigieg is a big phony. I mean, he's talking about respect and engaging, you know, with respect and compassion. What about what he did to Mike Pence? This man demonized Mike Pence, used him as a right-wing foil to launch his campaign. Remember that, Jim? He didn't treat Mike Pence with respect. Mike Pence didn't hate Mayor Pete, but he used Mike Pence as a caricature of Bible-believing Christians to advance when he first got started. So Mayor Pete talks out of both sides of his mouth. I think that's one thing. He talks about, what about compassion for the unborn? This is a man who said he wouldn't even welcome, but that basically didn't welcome pro-lifers into the Democratic Party. What about compassion for the most helpless and defenseless among us, the unborn? I think Mayor Pete is very slick. I think he talks respect, he talks all the things he wants people to hear, but underneath, there's that cutting. And this is a man, I think, who could do a lot of damage, not just to the understanding of biblical truth on this issue. I think he could do a lot of damage to Christians, at the toleration of Christians, and even if he gets in power, I think he could do a lot of damage to our rights as Christians, because I don't trust him to really respect Bible-believing Christians.
Peter LaBarbera is a guest here today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about the LGBTQ plus agenda being pushed, and we've talked about Mayor Pete because there's been a lot in the news in the past week there, but we're going to move on to Liz Warren and Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and what they're saying on the issue as well as other issues hitting the nation at this time. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. A billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the earth, but it was on day four that he created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarber is with us today. He's founder and president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And, Peter, your website?
Jim, it's Americans for Truth, all written out, F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.org.
AmericansForTruth.org. And you can stay abreast on a number of issues there. Peter, Liz Warren, she has pledged that if she wins the presidential election, half of all cabinet positions will be filled not only women, but she says by non-binary people. First of all, what is a non-binary person?
I guess it's somebody who doesn't want to identify as either male or female or doesn't want to choose one. Jim, she's the biggest panderer of all of them, that's for sure.
And she indicated they would be on her cabinet. I'm not sure what agency that she would be having them run. But, Peter, she also has come out recently calling for transgender women. Now, that would be biological males who wish to identify as women, as females, to be housed in women's prisons. She said this, "We have to stop putting trans women who are incarcerated into prisons with men where they are at risk. It is our responsibility." Your response?
Well, I think Liz Warren, I think, Jim, in the last time we did a show, we talked about how she also wants to have a transgender young person, so-called, vet her education secretary. So she sent a video to DragCon, which was a convention for drag, so-called drag queens, men who dress up as these crude characters of women. It's actually quite mean-spirited towards women and cruel. But this doesn't surprise me, Jim. She's desperate. She wants to show that she is more pro-LGBT than any other candidate, and she's willing to say or do anything, and it just shocks me the depths to which she will go.
Well, one of the areas that she has gone, and it came out just here within the last week as well, is her attack upon Christian schools, which she characterized as having these anti-LGBTQ+ policies. And certainly she has got Christian schools in the crosshairs right now.
Right, and that's the danger that we see. The left does not see people exercising their faith, being faithful to the Bible, the Word of God. The faith sees everything from the gay and trans activist perspective. That's what the Democratic Party now is. And, Jim, you'll notice that there's never any hard questions asked of these candidates. You know, never a question about, well, what, do you think it's fair for a biological boy to be able to compete who thinks he's a girl, to compete with girls in track competitions, et cetera? You know, the media just plays along, and everything is from the perspective of the LGBTQ lobby.
Now, Joe Biden as well has just recently declared, this is late January the 27th, LifeSiteNews.com has the story, declared that transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. He tweeted this out and then added, "There is no room for compromise when it comes to basic human rights." Peter, the transgender equality, the civil rights issue of our time?
It's ludicrous, and it's a real insult to African Americans. You know, Martin Luther King said you should not be judged by your skin color, but the quality of your character. There's no such thing as an ex-black, an ex-African American. These are people who were treated unfairly, often, sometimes even to the point of murder, because of the color of their skin. Now, homosexual activists and now transgender activists are coming in and they're stealing this movement. And they're stealing civil rights just like they stole the word marriage. And it's just an utter insult. In fact, Jim, it becomes even grotesque when you think about transgender activists citing bathroom policies. When you think back to Jim Crow, when African Americans were actually denied the use of restrooms because of their skin color, and now transgender activists are coming in and saying, oh, their situation is analogous because they can't use, you have a biological male trying to use a female restroom, and somehow comparing that to gender genuine civil rights of the Jim Crow era. It's an insult to blacks, and it's an insult to American history.
Okay, and then very quickly, Bernie Sanders, and Peter, we could take a whole program on each individual, but he is also pushing for a passage of the Equality Act, so-called, the Every Child Deserves a Family Act, and other bills. He is one that has been talking about protecting the rights of LGBTQ plus people around the world by ensuring they're written into the cortex of all global trade agreements, our strong and binding human rights standards, strengthening the special envoy for LGBTQ plus rights, that's within the State Department, advanced policies to ensure students attend school without fear of bullying. And he's talking about the Student Non-Discrimination Act in LGBT rights. He wants to make it easier for LGBTQ plus workers to form a union, fair housing for all, and I can just say et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and Jim, I think this is a teaching moment for the listeners, because to enforce the radical sexual agenda that's been put forth by homosexual, bisexual, transgender, and now it's even getting, you know, Jim, it's moving beyond that to polyamory, which is multiple partners, and pansexuality. You need big government to do that. And Bernie Sanders, I mean, here's a guy who who honeymooned in Moscow during the Cold War. I mean, this guy is a communist. This is a radical, advocating a radical socialist agenda. And it takes huge government to enforce this sexual radical agenda.
Peter LaBarbera here with us today. The State of the Union address last Tuesday night, President Trump was criticized for awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh. But little was said when President Obama awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom posthumously to Harvey Milk. Who was Harvey Milk?
Harvey Milk was a radical homosexual activist. He was one of the first, not the first, but one of the first men elected to public office in San Francisco. But a very fascinating thing, I've done a lot of reading on Harvey Milk, Jim. Harvey Milk had a taste for, let's just say, younger men, even minor boys, in the sense that he, in his 30s, had a sexual relationship with a boy who was either 16 or 17 years old. This is in New York, which likely makes Harvey Milk a statutory rapist under the New York criminal code at that time. This is a man who is Trump is still talking about naming a naval ship after Harvey Milk.
Yes.
Which is shocking, because Harvey Milk was a sexual predator, in the sense that he tried, according to a sympathetic biography by a homosexual, a now deceased homosexual writer named Randy Schiltz, Harvey Milk tried to seduce men on leave to get them to come back to his apartment rather than sleep in an open gym, I think, you know, less comfortable barracks. He lured them to his apartment under the guise of a more comfortable sleeping arrangement, but he really wanted to sodomize these men. And so you're actually naming a ship after a sexual predator, and a man who in his 30s had a predatory sexual relationship with an underage boy. This is incredible.
We understand that the State Department under Secretary Mike Pompeo has also been engaged in advocating for LGBT issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, Trump, and I think this is really a sad continuation of Obama's policies, although he hasn't been as radical, but this is one thing I really disagree with on Trump, is he has allowed Rick Grenell, who he appointed, an open homosexual man who calls himself a gay Christian, to be ambassador to Germany, and Rick Grenell is doing what many homosexual activists do, and including homosexual Republicans, is they put their gay activism first, Jim, and so Grenell is the guy who is pushing the decriminalization of homosexuality around the world. Now, we might agree with him when it comes to these draconian punishments that are pushed by Muslim regimes, for example, of hanging people caught in homosexual behavior. But when you talk about decriminalizing homosexuality, that's the first domino to fall. And you have countries like Jamaica, Jim, where there's a sodomy law on the books, an anti-sodomy law, and they're fearful that if they get rid of that sodomy law, they're headed down the road of America, which when we got rid of our sodomy law, Jim, remember, that was Lawrence v. Texas, it became the first step in leading all the way up to gay marriage. Now we have homosexuality, transsexuality pushed in schools. These countries do not want to follow the radical homosexual agenda and transsexual agenda that's happened in the United States. And why should we, as a nation, be pushing these countries in a sort of a new form of sort of sexual colonialism, sexual imperialism? Why should we be pushing our radical sexual politics on these innocent countries?
Peter, we're going to move on to some state issues going on as well, because we have seen the state house in Virginia change from red to blue, and there's just been so many pieces of legislation that have come forth from abortion and gun control and so forth taking place there. But they are not leaving out LGBTQ plus issues as well. I have from the Hill that last Thursday, Virginia passed the Virginia Values Act. This has been blocked previously. And in addition to that, Liberty Council has said on this, Peter, a bill that would add sexual orientation and gender identity to Virginia's non-discrimination law cleared committees in the House of Delegates and the Senate and appears to be on its way to becoming law. This was late January, and it's gone through those issues. But Liberty Council is saying this new Virginia LGBTQ plus bill would mean Baptist schools cannot fire cross-dressing teachers. This is more than just governmental positions. This would be statewide. As well as that, Virginia House recently passed a bill to ban so-called conversion therapy for minors.
Right. This is what happens when Democrats were state, Jim. And it's very sad. They also wiped out the pro-life legislation that's happened in Virginia, the good laws. Essentially, what we're seeing is the what happens when liberal Northern Virginia essentially took over the Virginia politics. It becomes the first southern state, I believe, Jim, to pass one of these. I know it hasn't been signed into law yet, but to pass homosexual transgender legislation like this. And I hope and pray that that Virginians will see what's happened. We've seen the attempt to undermine the Second Amendment. We've seen the pro-abortion legislation, now the pro-homosexuality, pro-transgender agenda being foisted upon the citizens in that state. And I know that most voters, when they went to the polls, Jim, did not think of this when they were voting, and I hope it turns around.
Peter, and matter of fact, the governor, evidently there's a little difference in versions between the House and Senate there, but the governor said that, we have laid down a marker, and he's going to be signing that final reconciled version into law. So though that signature has not happened yet, it's on its way.
Yes, and this is the radical governor, of course, Governor Northam, who actually sanctioned effectively infanticide, the babies who survive abortion, he said could still be put to death. I mean, this is a radical party. It's very sad to see the party of John F. Kennedy now become the party of radical sexual politics, homosexuality, transsexuality, and abortion on demand, and illegal aliens. I mean, this is really, the Democratic Party is a shell of what it once was.
Peter, let's go quickly over to California now, and this was really shocking as it came out. The activist mommy reported the story, but it's California Senate Bill 147 titled the LGBTQ Young People Non-Discrimination in the Sex Offender Registry Act. It passed the California Senate last year, stalled in the assembly, but it would make it optional for homosexual statutory rapists to be included in the state's sex offender registry. According to the Bay Area Reporter, it would grant judges discretion to decide if a person should have to register as a sex offender if that person is within 10 years of age of a consensual sexual partner between the ages of 14 and 17.
Yeah, Jim, the last thing we need is to take away any potential punishments for men sodomizing underage boys. We talked about Harvey Milk, how he was, now he was older. This is a 10-year limit, 10 years over the age of the victim. But this is done in the name of equality, Jim, because they're trying to say everything that applies to heterosexuality should apply to homosexuality. And this is just one example of people don't understand how that word equality is being abused now to create agendas which will actually victimize underage boys.
We're up against a break. Folks, there's more to come, sad to say. But we'll be back with Peter LaBarbera in just a minute.
How is your marriage relationship? Do you have a spirit-filled marriage? Is your marriage one in which the lost world can look in and see Christ represented? Many of us know that we are called to have such a marriage, but fail to make it happen, perhaps due to lack of knowledge on the topic. In the booklet, What Does a Spirit-Filled Marriage Look Like?, biblical counselor Susan Heck draws principles from the book of Ephesians. She presents 13 doctrines that guide a marriage that will bring glory to God. You'll learn about humility, forgiveness, generosity, unity, and much more. You'll also learn not only to know these principles, but how to grow them in your marriage relationship. VCY is offering one copy of this booklet for a donation of $6, 5 copies for a donation of $24, or 10 copies for $42. Just call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Peter LaBarber is addressing issues in our culture today, where things are at as it relates to the LGBTQ plus agenda that is being pushed from so many different means. We're observing what's happening politically speaking. We're looking also what's going on in some of the states. Recently in Virginia, we saw Utah recently pass a ban on so-called conversion therapy. Talking about some matters going on in California, and Peter, speaking of California, the College Fix is reporting that in California, they're wanting to scrap the student fitness test because they treat boys and girls as boys and girls. And so, you know, people are not measuring up if you're a boy identifying as a girl or a girl identifying as a boy. All of a sudden, these fitness standards are they're having some difficulty there.
Yeah, and Jim, can I say something about the ban on the ex-gay therapy, too?
Sure.
Isn't it interesting in our culture, the left encourages young people to come out as any number of things, bisexual, asexual, bigender, some of them we couldn't even define, Jim, male to female, transgender, you know, all these things, now pansexual, polysexual, and yet they can't become normal, as it were. They can't become honoring to God in the way that God created us, male for female, female for male for female, female for male. Anything but normal a child can identify as, and they actually want to make it, they're coming down to the point where they are going to force people to either to leave the state. Actually, you have to leave several states in order, if you want to help your child, to embrace the gender identity or the person that God made them to be. It's really sad to see.
And so as we go back here to California, Peter, part of the problem with these fitness tests is that it makes children so-called uncomfortable because it requires them to identify as male or female. And you got parents that are complaining the test is discriminatory to students that are non-binary since it includes a body mass index screening that offers only male or female options.
Right. It's just chaos. The left is sowing chaos. The homosexual transgender movement, and they're together. They're locked in unison. They are creating gender chaos, and they are confusing children. And then you wonder why the number of young people who identify as LGBT goes up, because sowing this confusion in the schools. And hopefully Trump will be, check some of that. But it's just coming so fast. Parents who adhere to tradition and normalcy don't know what to do.
Well, we're going back to Iowa here, Peter, because as LifeSite News had the article here on January 30th, a convicted pedophile released because the person is no longer deemed a threat because he now says he's a woman. The Des Moines Register, under the headline, convicted of sex crimes as a man, felon no longer deemed threat because of gender change. Is that what we're going to do, Peter? Just open up the prisons and if you change your gender, that you're no longer a threat, and so therefore we drop the charges?
Right. So as prisons are going to incentivize these predators, these sexual predators, into doing what they have to get out of prison, I think we're going to see more gender change if that's the case. I mean, I don't know when this pandering stops, but I do know that the Republican Party is the only party that's got some semblance of a fight, and I would think that Republicans, if they were smart, they would make more of these issues, Jim, instead so many Republicans seem to run from them. In fact, you'll notice back when we were talking about Pete Buttigieg, many conservative commentators don't even comment on his open homosexuality. They find other issues to criticize him on rather than the foremost one, which is this is a man espousing, you know, complete rebellion against God while he calls himself a faithful Christian.
Peter, things get more and more bizarre. Again, this one from LifeSiteNews.com this past Friday, where a girl is suing a school district. This is North Carolina, because of not being able to use the boys' bathroom, and says that it worsened her kidney disease. Saying, because I am a boy, she is biologically a girl, but says, because I am a boy, I could not use a girl's restroom comfortably, ended up avoiding the restroom for the entirety of the year. This is a let the female student use the boys' restaurant, restroom, and these things just get murkier and murkier.
Yeah, do we really want biological girls going into the boys' restroom? I mean, that seems so fraught with problems. I feel sorry for these school administrators. You have students who have imbibed the sexual and gender radicalism of the LGBT lobby. And let's be clear, this is the fault of the LGBT lobby. They are the one fomenting this chaos, fomenting this confusion among youth. And then they say, oh, this is just how people who are. Now we're seeing the numbers go up because the homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement is pushing this on kids. And teachers and administrators and the entire liberal establishment is pushing on it. And then when we see this confusion, they don't want to take the blame. They're the ones who are creating this chaos. And it's just wreaking havoc among our children.
Folks, we'd like your reaction to these issues. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Peter, one more story here, and it's one that is troubling from what I see, is that, again, a LifeSiteNews.com story where it says the government should overrule parents who neglect to transition their kids, a medical journal argues. This is the American Medical Association. December 31st, the Journal of the American Medical Association published Medically Assisted Gender Affirmation When Children and Parents Disagree. It's by a group of academics led by a Dr. Samuel Dubin of the University of Michigan. And basically, the premise here is that parents that prevent a minor from receiving treatments related to gender dysphoria violate the harm principle and justify state intervention. Peter, this should be alarming to every parent. If a child says, well, I wish to identify as this, I want to start hormone treatments, or I want to do this or that, and the parent says no, that this advocates for the harm principle and the state should intervene.
As usual, Jim, they've got it completely backwards. The harm principle is violated when the state somehow, the government allows, with the help of naive and foolish parents, they have allowed minors to get these awful operations, these transition operations. I recall the case of a girl in the Chicago area who went to, I can't remember the name of the hospital, but she had her healthy breasts surgically removed, I believe, at the age of 16. And, Jim, I think she threatened suicide to her parents. Mm. So the parents have been off with it. But the harm principle is violated when we're allowing minors to have to start these awful processes and even do the operations. Thankfully, there's some common-sense legislation. I think North Dakota is one, Jim, in which they are saying they are attempting to ban
South
these
Dakota.
Radical transsexual procedures. I think North Dakota is one, right?
South Dakota is in the process right now. Mm-hmm.
For minor children.
Yeah, they're working through that legislation right now in South Dakota. Peter, the good news is that people do not need to be trapped in this lifestyle.
Absolutely, absolutely. We see wonderful stories like Walt Hires. I mentioned him earlier. He has a website, sexchangeregret.com. I believe you interviewed him, didn't you, Jim?
No, he's. I think he's been on other broadcasts.
Well, so many people like Stephen Black, Charlene Cothran, Janet Boynes, people who come out of homosexuality, come out of transgenderism, and this is what we should be encouraging among youth. And we need to get these stories out there because the liberal media and the gay movement and the trans movement are intentionally trying to squelch the truth of people coming out of these harmful lifestyles.
Peter LaBarbera is our guest, and their website, AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. Let's begin in Burlington. Rich, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Just two quick comments. I'm a retired high school science teacher, public high school science teacher, and I had a couple of experiences which I thought were just disturbing at the least. And one of them was when we were talking about the lifting of the prohibition on gays in the military, when they stopped prohibiting gays in the military. And I had heard on the radio somewhere that the military also lifted the ban on bestiality, and I'm sorry to say that on the air. I feel like it's offensive to a lot of people, as it is to me, but they did lift the ban on bestiality. And one other thing that I think is...
Before we continue, Peter, are you aware of such a lifting of a ban?
It's murky in my mind, Jim. I think it was something to do with the code of military conduct.
Okay. Go ahead, Rich.
The other thing was when I was teaching a high school senior science class, and we had a woman from the local blood bank, and we were talking about blood donation and the whole process and everything, and it was unrelated to this at all. But she had mentioned that the week before she had been her blood drive, mobile blood drive setup, had gone to the local junior college, and there was students protesting there because of the questions that were being asked of donors about their sexual behavior in order to keep the blood supply safe. Mm-hmm. And she was very much championing their comments and saying how much she appreciated them standing up for what they believed. And I asked her the question, is your first concern the students championing that cause and then having the right to participate in activity, or is your first concern keeping the blood supply safe for recipients? And her answer was, well, of course it's to keep it safe, but I just think it's good that these students were protesting to get change if it's necessary. Hmm. And I'm thinking, change if it's necessary? That endangers the whole donor blood supply.
Rich, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Peter, your comment.
Well, yeah, change, it's always change is utmost in the mind of the left-wing activist. And unfortunately, that includes many teachers who consider themselves change agents. But, Jim, I believe, and I have to go back and check this, but I believe Australia now has a stronger blood policy on homosexuality than the United States of America, and that's all thanks to Barack Obama.
Let's go on to Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hello, Jim. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You guess. I had two things. One is, you said that they have taken the word marriage. When you speak in public appearances, inform them that they've also hijacked the word gay, because gay means happy, and they aren't, and that's evident by the suicide rate. The other is, I don't know if the video of the lady wanting her vote back warms your soul, you should watch this video concerning a rapper named Pastor Troy. He has something to say about another rapper named Lil Nas X, who decided to wear a woman's cowboy outfit and call on just more than Christians. I mean, Christians, sure, no question in that, call on them to stand against this, but you can call other people from other walks of life as well.
Yeah, thank you, Leroy. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, in response to Mayor Pete's God having a sense of humor, I want to refer to Proverbs chapter 1, 25 and 26. It says, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity when your terror comes. So ultimately, God is not mocked. His word prevails, and, you know, that's the bottom line.
Thank you, Mark. Peter?
Amen to that. You know, the truth does not change, and no amount of politics, no amount of democratic power or LGBT influenced in the media and Hollywood changes the truth. And I think that's what drives the frustration of LGBTQ activists. They can't change the truth.
We'll be back in 1 minute with Peter LaBarbera here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We continue our series now on the dangers of discourse or dialogue with the cultural Marxist. As we've been saying, there's nothing wrong with having a debate. But when you have a discourse or dialogue, you're trying to merge your worldview with theirs and find common ground. You can't do that. And when you do that, involved in discourse or dialogue with them, you fall into trap and danger number 8 in our list. You have allowed your cultural Marxist enemy to define the language. You're giving validity to their language, like woke, white privilege, social justice. You're allowing them to control the narrative. You're setting up the conflict. You're walking into a trap, and you're setting yourself up to be marginalized, and your values marginalized. And ultimately, what you're doing is you're giving legitimacy to their values. You're saying, I'll talk with you and try to find common ground because there is some value to what you believe. And guess what? You have surrendered to the psychological process and submitted yourself to all 8 dangers. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
Peter LaBarbera is our guest here today. His website, AmericansForTruth.org, AmericansForTruth.org. Back to the lines in Port Charlotte, Florida. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Many years ago, I'm 85 years old, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Many years ago, there was something called castration. And when that was in effect, guys that wanted to do bad stuff to women, they thought twice before they messed with a woman and did terrible things. So I think they should bring it back.
Okay. Let's go to Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I appreciate you taking my call today. And Brother Peter, I wanted to touch back. You guys were talking about pedophilia and how they could get out of it by changing their gender. Well, my wife has a degree in psychology, and she's told me for many years that pedophilia does not have much to do with sexuality. It has more to do with control and that sort of thing. And I think it's more of a mental condition than anything. And that certainly is not going to cure anybody's mind if they alter their being. But what I'm trying to say is that's not a cure, and how they connect the two together with the LGBTQ, I just don't understand it. It's well over the line, and it's just horrible. Horrible.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, what's interesting is sexual activists, including some homosexual activists, have labeled pedophilia as a sexual orientation. And now we've seen that in academic journals as well. I remember a guy named Andy Hum, who I believe was a New York City gay activist a number of years ago, wrote a letter to the editor of, I think, the New York Times or some newspaper in which he said that pedophilia is a sexual orientation. And we do see the problem of, you know, which we see in Harvey Milk's life. This guy who President Obama gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to. The left is so outraged by Trump giving it to Rush Limbaugh, and yet Barack Obama gave it to a man who had essentially a man-boy relationship, a sexual relationship with a guy who was a street hustler. In other words, a homosexual prostitute, this kid who Harvey Milk seduced into his home, and they went into what was they called a homosexual marriage. Now, that's very troubling because young people in American culture are going to be taught that Harvey Milk was a civil rights hero, and they're not going to learn the aspects of his life like this that don't fit the gay narrative.
Thank you for the call here, Al. Our next caller from Sussex, Joe, you're on the air. Oh, I'm sorry, we lost Joe. Let's go to Michelle in Ohio. Michelle, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I wanted to call, and I wanted to see if you guys are familiar, your guests there, with how these same laws, the ERA, the Fairness Act, and laws like them, and then the thing that's coming out of Virginia, those basically, the bigger picture of that, what happens at the end of the day, is that it criminalizes Christianity, and that's basically, from comparing the legislation used in Canada to do the same thing, which now they're fighting tooth and nail. If you have if you preach a sermon that doesn't identify, you know, that tries to use the two genders, then you, there's one gentleman over there, 50,000 so far was the last tally of the fines and jail that he's going through. So I'm wondering if that, I haven't heard that comment mentioned yet, But the bigger picture of this is it's not just the harm it does to our young people, but also to criminalizing Christianity.
Peter, any thoughts?
Yes, I think I used to say all the time that these laws, these LGBT laws, in the name of non-discrimination, criminalize Christianity. But now I think they also, to the caller's point, they criminalize common sense and basic morality and basic human understanding, including those who just believe the simple biological truth that there are males and females. Those are the two genders, as they call it, really the two sexes. And so we see the cases of Jack Phillips, of the Kleins, were put out of business with their bake shop, the Christian photographers. This has already been going on for decades now, and yet we're supposed to trust the homosexual activists and the Democrats not to use even stronger laws, even a federal law, the so-called Equality Act, which I'm calling the Criminalized Christianity Act. Of course they're going to use, the more power they have, the more oppression and persecution they're going to bring against people who disagree with homosexuality and who disagree with transgenderism. They want that power to negate the essentially what rises out of a Christian biblical belief system and also just common sense, Jim, belief in male and female.
Thank you, Michelle, for the call. Let's get back. We do have Joe back on the line here. Joe, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Laura Barber, for your work. A couple of observations.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but you're welcome.
Well, you're certainly a subject matter expert. I'm observing that there's a common denominator between, you know, this form of ungodliness and many other forms of ungodliness. And I'd like to suggest that it's that Christians have forgotten how to say no. That, and perhaps even, I want to be gentle with this to avoid a railing accusation, but I think pastors have failed to train us how to say no, how to use biblical means to stand firm, resist the devil, and to give an answer.
Thank you, Joseph. Peter?
I think that is right on. I just think you're absolutely right. You know, it's this namby-pamby failure to just state the truth. I use the example of, again, Pete Buttigieg. I'm shocked at how conservatives are all walking on eggshells and nobody, for example, on Fox News, I think Chris Wallace interviewed Pete Buttigieg's first major interviews on Chris Wallace's Sunday show. He didn't even bring up his open, defiant homosexuality in the name of Christianity, by the way. It's not just that Mayor Pete, you know, embraces a homosexual identity. It's that he does it in the name of Jesus Christ, who came to deliver us from sin. This is the big lie that's being perpetrated, and it makes its way because of the lack of clarity in the churches and the fear of bringing up the subject and teaching the basic truth of Scripture. And when there's not a lot of basic truth teaching, what happens is the lies come forward. It starts with nuance, and then they just grasp at bigger and bigger lies. And before you know it, you've got a presidential candidate who's calling himself a faithful Christian because of his homosexuality. He's flipped the Scriptures on their heads.
Peter LaBarber with us, and I apologize to other callers, but we're down to 5 seconds and run out of time here for phone calls. Peter with us here today, his website, AmericansForTruth.org. Peter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for the opportunity, and God bless you.
Bye-bye now. AmericansForTruth.org is his website, and folks, the issues are upon us here, and I'm so thankful for Scripture that reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.